time. Take your Bibles. We're going to Nehemiah chapter 4. I know you thought we'd never get out of chapter 3, but here we are going to chapter 4. chapter 3, we finished building the gates. I trust that you found the gates interesting, helpful, and challenging. I trust that you did. Just to review, Nehemiah, there have been 70 years of captivity, exile. The cause? Disobedience. Sin. Now, in Babylon, they're some 300 miles away from Jerusalem under Ezra, the command to go back. We know from Ezra that 3% of the people went back with Ezra. The temple was destroyed. Gates were in ruin. They have found themselves under a kind and gracious king, King Cyrus, who has been shown, and we believe given, a scroll where God tells that my Cyrus is going to rebuild the temple. Just a really, really interesting study in Bible history and in secular history. They've come back to the place of Jerusalem after 70-plus years, and they have found it desolate and abandoned. Mom, imagine for a moment that you left your house for 70 years. Imagine what it would be like when you got back. Now, several of the moms are laughing. So let me bring this a little bit closer to home, Mom. Imagine that you left the house for 72 hours. It could be a wreck by the time you get back. So my dad would leave the house for 2 hours. And we were playing basketball in the living room, just saying. And watching for dad to come home so we could put the dining room table and chairs back where they were supposed to be and stop doing the wrestling in the dining room. Just saying. And they've been gone for 70 years. Things are going to be in disarray. It is not an easy task that they have been called to do. And we're in chapter 4, verse 1. And so we have attacks from without, we have attacks from within, we have sin, that's certainly from within, but there's going to be attacks from without, and we should expect them. They are not new. 7 years, Brother Oldenburg told us. They've been waiting for an adoption, and the form has remained the same. Attacks from without. The pipe out of the ground. An attack from without. That should not take us by surprise. It should not take our breath away. We shouldn't throw our hands up in the air and say, oh, didn't see that coming. We should see it coming. And here it comes. Verse 1. But it came to pass that when Sanballat heard that we builded the wall, he was wroth and took great, not just indignation, but great indignation, and mocked the Jews. Just anything, Satan will do anything to get you distracted from the task that God has called you to do. And I'm sure in verse 1, those of you that go out and knock on doors every week, you can say, well, yeah, we've seen some people that were wroth. We've seen some people that took great indignation. We've had some people mock us. Man, I was reminded today that God promised that His word would not return void. Sunday morning, this past Sunday, we had 5 people in the 11 o'clock service whose doors were knocked on Saturday. A couple came out. And I said, why are you here? And they said, well, yesterday somebody knocked on our door. He said, I can't really remember who it was because my wife talked to him. But I talked to him for several minutes, and they're going to call me, and we're going to sit down for a little bit of fellowship. There was a second couple that was here that Amanda and someone else knocked on their door maybe a month ago. And they gave me the name, and I followed up on it. Don't you let Satan think. I'll tell you. The number one question I am asked from other pastors when they find out that we in Northern Virginia go knocking on doors is so. And kind of flippantly, you let her head go, so what kind of response do you get? I immediately tell them we don't do it for a response. We do it in obedience. You might want to read your Bible. But we have a response. Gabrielle is here. Gabrielle's been here, I don't know how many years she's been here, but one of our soul winners knocked on her door. And she's come to Christ. Her two children are come to Christ. She is every other Sunday working, but she has taught Sunday school, and she'll probably go back to teaching in the near future. Now, she is a gem. Where she reached? Door to door. Don't you let Satan get you discouraged. He'll do it from without. And he spake before of his brethren, verse 2, and the army of Samaria, and said, what? Calling names. What do these feeble Jews? Will they fortify themselves? Will they sacrifice? Will they make an end in a day? Will they revive the stones out of the heaps of the rubbish which are burned? Now Tobiah the Ammonite was by him, and he said, even that which they build, it's such poor quality that if a fox go up, he shall even break down the stone wall. Hear, O our God, for we are despised, and turn their reproach upon their own head, and give them for a prey in the land of captivity. What a great prey. And cover not their iniquity, and let not their sin be blotted out from before thee, for they have provoked thee to anger before the builders. And I am challenged by the first early American history, the preachers that went from door to door in the mountains and dealt with the guys that were visiting the bars and selling the moonshine and running the stills, and they would stop and pray for them. I get inspired by that. So every once in a while, certainly not every week, but every once in a while, I'll bump into somebody and they'll say, yeah, God not going to do anything to me, you preachers. And I go, let's pray. And it's just amazing to watch people. Now, we're not talking about people that go here to church. I'm not even talking about overly religious people. I'm talking about people that are mocking God. And so I say, let's pray. And I bow my head, and they immediately go, they take their hat off. They take their hat off. And they fold their arms. And I said, dear Lord, this person standing in front of me has challenged you. And Father, I pray that you would just let them know that you give them a knock in the kneecap so strong that they go, wait. And I stop. What's the matter? What are you doing? He said, you're praying. You told me. And so I'm just letting God know what you said. And he goes, no, you stop right there. Don't you do that. Now, that's what Nehemiah was doing. Hey, well, you guys want to come and you want to challenge the work of the Lord? You want to call us a bunch of misfits? Let me tell you, I'm going to pray for you. I'm going to get to work. And they did. And they got to work. And the people got to work. Verse 7, but it came to pass that when Sanballat and Tobiah and the Arabians and the Ammonites and the Ashdodites, there's a whole group of them, heard that the walls of the Jerusalem were made up and that the breaches began to be stopped. You watch the walls going up. Then they were very wroth, and they conspired, all of them, together to come and to fight against Jerusalem and to hinder it. I make no bones about it. They are not the friends. Nevertheless, we made our prayer unto our God and set a watch against them day and night because of them. They just got to work. The more the success, the greater the opposition. They just kept working. The walls got built. The gaps got filled. The Arabs are against them. The Ammonites are against them. The Ashdodites are against them. They're planning an attack. They're trying to create confusion. Just keep working. Keep your eyes focused on the Lord Jesus Christ. So verse 9, the people prayed. And they set a watch. I'm just reminded of what we do. 25 years ago, I guess, we started a security team. Brother Earl Williams, he's my to-go guy now on all things church security. But tonight, while we're here, we have security. It's 8:30 service. We have security. We lock the doors. We are watching. We have cameras. And we're working. We had an incident Sunday morning with some of our bus kids, and the guys went to work and say, "Preacher, what did you do?" "I went to the pulpit." I said, "Get ready, Guzman. Get ready, Flores. I'm going to preach." And they did. They got those guys, got them together. They got the kids in here in the auditorium, got them separated. "What did you do?" "I just preached. Just preached. Just stay at it. Just stay at it." And I admire people that stay at it. One of the sweetest people I know that is a go-get-things-done kind of gal is Mrs. Bishop. She just is. She had surgery yesterday. You probably see she's sporting a wonderful big bump on her right arm. And so it's pretty extensive. And she comes out, and the doctor says, "Now, take it easy. Take it easy. For a while. And you want to leave this on there. It bled quite a bit. So you leave this on there for a couple of days. Don't even take it off." And she said, "Okay." And so we got out of there. We cried for a little bit. We're human. We cried for a little bit. And then about 45 minutes later, she said, "I'm ready to go to work." I said, "No, wait a minute. The doctor, I'm hard of hearing. And I'm a little hard-headed. But he just said, now, I'm a guy. When the doctor says to me, take it easy for a couple of days, I always follow up with a question. That means no dishes, right? And no cooking. And no housework. And no honey-do projects, right?" And I'm shaking my head. And the nurse, or doctor, who's ever given the instructions, they go, "That's right. That's right. No dishes. That'd be very dangerous." I mean, they kept right on. I mean, I'm a guy. I've been milking this for weeks. She's milking it for all 45 minutes. And she's a worker. And these folks in Nehemiah chapter 4, they're workers. They're not going to get distracted by the opposition around them. And so Nehemiah, he's in leadership. He organizes a protection. And again, I'm thankful for our security guys. And who's out there tonight? Raleigh Welly? Yeah, his wife is glad he's out there because they've been fighting. But anyways, Brother Welly, that's a test question to see if you're paying attention tonight. So the walls are built. The prayers are answered. The enemy is frustrated. Verse 13, "Therefore set I in the lower places behind the wall, and on the higher places I even set the people after their families with their swords, their spears, and their bows. And I looked," verse 14, "and rose up and said unto the nobles and to the rulers and to the rest of the people, be not ye afraid of them. Remember the Lord, which is great and terrible, and fight for your brethren, your sons and your daughters, your wives and your houses. And it came to pass, when our enemies heard that it was known unto us, and God had brought their counsel to naught, that we returned, all of us, to the wall, every one unto his work. And it came to pass from that time forth that the half of my servants wrought in the work, and the other half of them held both spears and shield and bows and harbingers, and the rulers were behind all the house of Judah, they which builded on the wall, they that bear burdens with those that laded, even one with one of his hands wrought in the work, and with the other hand held a weapon." It's just important. The victory is so pronounced that the foreigners began to tremble. God's power working through obedient people. Obedient people working in God's divine power, in God's divine grace. Hey, Satan doesn't have a chance if we will work in the spirit and power of God himself. Hold your finger here. Go with me to Hebrews chapter 11. Hebrews chapter 11, the great faith chapter. Now we know that's the great faith chapter. Titus, Philemon, Hebrews, I know it's in here somewhere. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 33. Do you know what's in it? These guys, as we know from Sunday morning, looking forward to the cross, looking forward to the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ, through faith, subdued kingdoms, wrought righteousness, obtained promises, stopped the mouths of lions, quenched the violence of fire, escaped the edge of the sword, out of weakness were made strong, waxed valiant in fight, turned to flight the armies of the aliens. Women received their dead raised to life again, and others were tortured, not accepting deliverance, that they might obtain a better resurrection. And others had trial of cruel mockings and scourgings, yea, moreover, of bonds and imprisonment. They were stoned. They were sawn asunder, were tempted, were slain with the sword. They wandered about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, tormented. Now, I know that verse doesn't fit very well with the tenor of your average prosperity prophet preacher in America, that God intends you to be rich and never have a problem. To their credit, their Bible probably doesn't have the 11th chapter of Hebrews. And if it does, they probably should cut it out. Verse 38, of whom the world was not worthy. They wandered in deserts and in mountains and in dens and in caves of the earth. And these all, having obtained a good report through faith, received not the promise. What promise? Jesus Christ. This is before, talking about before Christ, death, burial, and resurrection. God having provided some better thing for us, that they without us should not be made perfect. A success, they have, what have they had? They experienced success looking forward to what Jesus Christ was going to do. And they just kept at it. They just kept at it. We got up this morning, and Mrs. Bishop, I said, what are you doing? What are you doing? O thou young lady who's supposed to be resting. She said, I'm going to wash sheets. I said, why would you do that? She said, because it's sheet washing day. You should have done that yesterday. Today, you're supposed to be resting. And who's going to help you put the sheets back on? It's a two-handed job. Most of the time, it's a two-person job. And I'm going to be gone all day. She said, don't you worry about it. Just finish taking the sheets off. Take them downstairs and put them in the washing machine. I said, girl, you're supposed to rest. And you leave these till I get home. But did she? Oh, no. No. I get home. The bed's made. The sheets are on. It's like, what? Seriously, woman. Rest. What are you trying to do? I'm just trying to keep up. That's all I'm trying to do. You can look through Hebrews chapter 11 and say, I got it pretty bad in life. Just nobody's going to listen to you. These people were cut in half. That's what sawn means. They were cut in two pieces. Their top half was separated from the bottom half. And they just kept serving the Lord. So what's going to make you stop? The test is what makes you stop. A little surgery, a little bad news, a little bump in the road, or are you just going to determine that you're going to be a person of faith and you're just going to keep plugging away as long as the Lord gives you breath? I'm inspired by Hebrews chapter 11. I'm inspired by those in the room that just keep at it. Nary's one of those people So I get here Monday, I think it was. It was late. And I bumped in the office for just a second or two, and I hear noise. There's somebody here. It's Monday. Nobody's supposed to be here. Neri's here, downstairs, painting. Now, she was doing trim work with one hand, and with the other hand, because they had a tool in one hand, right, and a weapon in the other, she's got a big stick, and she's after Nelson. Work, 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 work. But here's Neri. Nobody would say, you know, of all people, Neri should be here painting on a Monday night. Nobody would say that. But here she is. And she didn't say, now, Pastor, you make sure that I get recognized on Wednesday night because I want everybody to know that I was here painting. As a matter of fact, she's probably going to smack me after the service with that rod that she was going after Nelson with Monday night. People getting the job done. Not complaining, not griping, not moaning, not feeling sorry for themselves. People that have a mind to work. The spirit of chapter 4 of Nehemiah. And so, let's read, we've got time, let's read verse 19. I said to the nobles, chapter 4, verse 19 of Nehemiah, and to the rulers, and to the rest of the people, the work is great and large, and we are separated upon the walls, one far from another. In what place, therefore, ye hear the sound of the trumpet? Resort ye thither unto us. Our God shall fight for us. So we labored in the work. And half of them held the spears from the rising of the morning till the stars appeared. Likewise, at the same time, what do they got? They got a plan. If there's an attack going on this side of the wall, the trumpet sounds. And everybody goes to help their brother. We're a body of believers called the church. We don't say, hey, you're on your own. You got some water coming in at your house, man, you're on your own. Hey, we're all in it together. You got a problem? That's my problem. I want to be there. And you should want to be there to help others. Verse 22, likewise the same. Said I unto the people, let everyone with his servant lodge within Jerusalem, that in the night they may be a guard to us and labor on the day. So neither I nor my brethren, nor my servants, nor the men of the guard which followed me, none of us put off our clothes. Boy, that smelled good. We washed them. Saving that everyone put them off for washing. Praise the Lord for that. I just stay at it. Remember, in conflict and in opposition, God is at work. This has not taken God by surprise. And he is going to use the opposition. They think they've got the upper hand. But God is going to use that to strengthen his people, to give them a resolve. David and Saul, we're talking about that on Sunday evening. God was at work in what he did. Sunday night we mentioned that God used Saul to purge Saul from David. If you don't know what that means, you did not listen closely enough to the message on Sunday evening, go back and review. Saul thought he had the upper hand, but God used him to help mature David. I'm sure I would have been praying, Lord, please remove this opposition from me today. But God didn't choose to do that. He used Saul to grow David spiritually. If you let God, he'll use conflict, opposition, to grow you spiritually, to help you. God did not remove, in this chapter, God did not remove the enemies that were resisting. He could have, but he did not. Why? Because there's a much bigger thing taking place here. Could he have? Absolutely. He made the universe in 6 days. This is nothing. This is a speck on a speck. God could have done it. But he is using the building and the opposition to build and strengthen and mature his people. God will do that in your life. if you let him. These people were right where they needed to be, in the spot where God wanted them to be, doing the thing that God wanted them to do. And God allowed the opposition thought they were going to be successful. But all they were successful in doing was strengthening the people in the work that God had called them to do. And the people were stronger as a result. What are you doing now? I'm making cookies for the ladies. You can't stir that. It takes two hands. No. I am not stirring the pot so the ladies can have cookies. The ladies can go buy the cookies. I am not. Yes, dear, I am stirring the pot. How's that? Not good enough. You got to do it till all the white is gone. So I stirred the pot. All the white is gone. I hid the white underneath the top step. And then she pours chocolate chips in. It's like, seriously? She said they're chocolate chip cookies. The ladies have to have chocolate chips in their cookies. And I said, why? They have cookies without chocolate chips. And she said, just do it. And so I went out and I mowed the lawn because they're predicting rain and I'm going to be gone for the next 3 days. I went out and mowed the lawn and I come back in and she said, it's not thick enough. I said, what do you mean it's not thick enough? She said, I poured some more. I don't know what you pour in there, flour, baking soda, I don't know, whatever. It was white stuff she poured in there. And she made me stir it up again. And then she said, it doesn't have enough chocolate chips in it. And I said, I don't care if the ladies have any chocolate chips. There should be some cookies without chocolate chips. And I said, I'm going to tell the ladies, and you better tell the ladies, that I made the cookies. And she said, I will. And I'll tell them you had a bad attitude. And I said, and you will be right. And she said, and you're not going to get any stars in your crown for this either. I said, no, I am not. I am not. But isn't that how we respond to opposition? We moan, we groan, we complain. Why not? Why this? Just let it. No stars in that crown. Nope. I hope, and ladies, I hope you enjoy the cookies. I come in from the yard, and she's like, wash your hands. I'm like, why? You've been outside working in the yard. Wash your hands. You're going to cook them in the oven, right? 350 degrees. It's going to kill whatever germs. She made me wash my hands. I get bad attitude. Yep. Don't have bad attitude. Serve the Lord. Look at the opposition. Laugh in their face because you know that God is... Don't be like the preacher. Be like a good Christian. Be like Christ. Look at that opposition and laugh. And know that God is going to do a great work in your life. And God is going to use that to mature you, to strengthen you, to help you, to enable you to do greater things down the road. Several lessons from chapter 4. Number 1, don't be a breach. Don't be the gap in the wall or the cause of the gap in our defensive walls. Number 2, don't be asleep, absent, late. Frank, can I get an amen from you? Don't be late to Sunday school. Fight, lay hold, strengthen, encourage. And then ask this question. How can I personally serve God, God's church, my church family? How can I serve them? Father, I thank you for this chapter. I pray that we'd be motivated. Father, I am sorry for my bad attitude in the cookie making with Mrs. Bishop. I still would have bought them. But Father, I pray that we would all be motivated to not let opposition, trouble, stop us or slow us down. Get busy working on the wall, on the breaches, repairing what needs to be repaired, doing what needs to be done until you call us home. May we be found faithfully serving you. In Jesus Christ's name, amen. You have a prayer request?